This is clearly set for Archbishop Henry. Today we have a great privilege. Bishop Henry and Mama Phoebe, they are here with us, and it's really just our joy to have them here. They have been really connected with Christ Church since 1997, and Bishop Henry has really functioned in many ways as our spiritual leader. And so we're so grateful for the relationship that God has given us with them. They have been married since 1972. I learned that last night. They have four children. Bishop Henry studied for his theological training both in Uganda and in the UK, and then served as worked as a youth minister, then became an archdeacon in the Church of Uganda, then was elected bishop of the Nebbi Diocese and served there for 10 years, and then was elected to be the archbishop of the Church of Uganda. He served as archbishop for 9 years and just recently retired. Needless to say, Archbishop Henry is one of the most influential Anglican leaders of our generation. And so it is, this is not just an ordinary bishop of the church. Not that there is even such a thing as an ordinary bishop, but this is a real treat for us to be in this relationship and to have them here. And so, Mama Phoebe, would you stand, and Archbishop, would you stand, and let's just welcome them here. So I'm going to turn it over to Bishop Henry and let him bring the word to us this morning.
Patrick, thank you. Thank you so much. Pleasure. Thank you.
It's one of the few rare opportunities for me coming back to a people that we have loved for so many years, coming back to a pulpit that I have used several times, and being introduced by a man whom I've known for quite a while. I'm so glad to be back with my wife. We are so thankful for many, many reasons, one of which is you are giving us Alison Barford, Katie Rhodes, to come and work with us in my country. This church has prayed for them, and you have prayed for the ministry in Uganda. You have prayed for us. We are coming back to you this morning to say thank you. Thank you for being our friends. Thank you for being our prayer partners. Thank you for being there as witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ in this part of the world. We are coming back also to say that the relationship that we built with you ever since 97 is a God-given relationship. And every relationship is like a bonfire. If you don't feed it, it dies. So we are coming back to put a few more logs in the fire to make it burn a lot more brightly. Thank you, Patrick, for welcoming me and welcoming Mama Phoebe. Thank you, Ellis, that you could come back here and be on the staff. We are so delighted, and we want to say to God be the glory. This morning, I'm asked to speak, and to speak like speaking to an American congregation. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me to look at my watch carefully and be obedient to God. I have liberty at home to preach for as long as they can take it in. But when I'm in America, I'm in America, and I want to be very much part of you this morning. We left home last month. We spent some time in England. We did ministry in Sligo, in Ireland. We were in part of England, and the whole of July we were in England. And then 1st of August, we came to your country through Philadelphia. This is our second stop. Tomorrow we'll go to Texas, and we finish in Mobile, Alabama. Then we should go home. We are so delighted that the Lord, who has bound us together, continues to be Lord over all. The message I really want to believe God has given me to give you is the man who met the man, according to the story read to us by Mel. Thank you, Mel, again, for reading that story very well. The man Jesus met a man in Jericho called Zacchaeus. These two men are totally different in many ways. Jesus of Nazareth meeting Zacchaeus of Jericho. He walked into Jericho having healed a blind man as he was coming in chapter 18 in the book, in the gospel. And as he was passing through, we are told that he was followed by crowds, tall, big men. And people were attracted to him. And Jesus' amazing character had a character which is attractive. So people came around him. I believe the reason that Jesus was very attractive was because Jesus was love. And love attracts people. But there was this particular man, Zacchaeus. I'm told by Luke that he was not 6'5" like me. He was a small man. He was trying to see who Jesus was. He couldn't make it because people were too tall before him. Now, the question you want to ask when you read this text is, why would a man like Zacchaeus want to see Jesus? Zacchaeus, according to the scripture, was an employed man. He was a chief tax collector. He was very rich. He had money. This man had a family, I would want to believe. This man was not sick. Why would he want to see Jesus? Now, if he wanted money like he was, the tax collector, Jesus is not the man you want to look for, because Jesus was not the kind of man with money. Jesus was not wealthy. You remember in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, he said to the hearers, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man cannot even afford a pillow. Therefore, not even a house he could afford." He was so poor, he couldn't have a house. Jesus never had transport. He traveled walking from Capernaum through Samaria to Judea, Judea through Samaria up to Capernaum, walking. And when he needed transport on that great triumphal entry into Jerusalem, he had to borrow. He's a man who borrowed transport. Jesus was not a man who would call a rich man and a tax collector looking for. Paul summarized it in these words. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, these are the words of Paul. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, he became poor, that you would become rich out of his poverty." Jesus emptied himself, left his glory, left the power and everything else in heaven, and became us. Born of a woman, a peasant woman in Nazareth, and he was born in a manger, grew up in a poor family. He left it all for the sake of making us rich. And therefore, Zacchaeus, this is a wrong man this time. You can't get money out of him. But he was looking for Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. And so he ran forward and he climbed a tree. He wanted to have an aerial view of Jesus as he passed by. He wanted to compensate his height by climbing a tree. He was short. Everybody blocked him. Now, I am amazed that Zacchaeus never climbed any other sycamore tree. He climbed a tree where Jesus was going to go by. Strategically, he was very careful that he is going to see Jesus, but he also wanted Jesus to see him. Isn't that amazing? He wanted Jesus to see him. He wanted to see Jesus, and he wanted Jesus to see him. Beloved friends, when you come into a church just like this morning, this is not by accident. You come because the power of God brings you to meet the Savior who longs for you. You come not because you choose to come. Primarily, you have a desire, fine, but God is behind it all. Zacchaeus wanted to see, but also he wanted to be seen by Jesus. And there he was, suspended between sky and earth, and he was up there. He was way up there. He could see Jesus. And his desire was deep. This is a man looking for something that money could not buy. This is a man looking for something that he had tried to look for and he never found. This is a man who is hungering for something, and he in his heart knew that Jesus was the one who could give it to him. Beloved, Jesus knew Zacchaeus. Because in verse 5, let me read for you. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, by name. He knew him by name. Now that brings him very close to him. Friends, I meet multitude of people in my life. And God has given me the ability to try to remember names. And when I come into a place like last night I was here, I could remember some people by name. And when I call them by name, they feel, oh, he remembers. He remembers my name. Names have that kind of identity and value that when somebody remembers your name, it is so powerful because it adds value to you. Zacchaeus, when I go into my own dioceses and I there are girls and women who serve me water and I wash my hands together with my wife, then many times we meet somewhere and they really embarrass me. What they will say to me is, do you remember me? And of course I can't remember everybody, there are so many. Oh, but I served water. I said, yes, you did, but I can't remember where was it. Now, that is something. But Jesus Christ knows each one of us by name. 7 billion people on planet Earth, Jesus knows us by name. He would call this man by name, Zacchaeus. And when he called him by name, he invited himself to his house. He said, I'm going home with you. Come down quickly. He never expected. That was such a good news and a great news for him. He hurriedly came down. He's going to walk Jesus to his house. People were not amused. This is a notorious tax collector, a sinner. This is a man who is a Jew betraying the Jewish people. He's collecting taxes for the Roman government. He's cheating his brothers and sisters. This is a man whose track record is evil, and you are a rabbi, a holy man. How come you go to his house? They grumbled. Jesus went into the house of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus, but Jesus too was looking for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was not looking for anything other than a personal touch by Jesus, a human touch by Jesus, a recognition by Jesus. Zacchaeus had a problem. His problem was he was a lonely, isolated, marginalized person. He had money, yes, but money could not draw people to himself. He had a powerful post, yes, chief tax collector, but even that could not draw people to him. The man was walking alone. The world over, one of the biggest struggles that humankind have, up in the west here, down in the south, is a whole question of loneliness. You can be in a great city, millions of people, and yet you can be alone. You can be in a place where you have neighbors all the time, and yet you can be alone. You can be in a church like this, sitting together, and yet you can be alone. And you're struggling inside, and you're looking for somebody to give you a hug, to give you a smile, to give you a kiss, and nobody does it to you, and you are freezing inside. You are not yourself. Zacchaeus was that kind of person. He had a longing for somebody. He has longing for a friend. Now here, Jesus walks into his house, and Jesus sits down with him, and Jesus eats with him. Now if this man was a tax collector, if this man was cheating his brothers and sisters, I bet the chairs, the tables, the food, the house could have all been bought and built with stolen money. But Jesus goes in there. He sits on that chair. He eats that food. Is he looking for food? No. Is he looking for somewhere to sit? No. Is he looking for a house? No. Is he looking for the man? He's looking for Zacchaeus. He sat there and he ate his food. Now, Jesus invites himself in a house. He's not only one person, beloved. He has 12 other disciples. There are 13 people at the least going into the house of that man. And Mrs. Zacchaeus would prepare food for all of them. and they were eating. I am amazed that Jesus is not preaching any sermon. Jesus is going in, receiving hospitality, sitting down there. And John writes to us in John chapter 3, verse 20, the book of Revelation 3:20, says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock at. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in, sit with him, eat with him, and he with me. I will walk in, I'll be a friend. I'll walk in and I will make myself at home." Jesus, the friend of tax collectors, including Zacchaeus. And that is what is so moving. He had eyes for people who needed to know there is a God who loves them. There is a God who cares. There is a God who is concerned. He had eyes for people who were otherwise defeated, and he wanted them to know that he would lift them up when they had been fallen face down. He had eyes for people who were rejected by the society and they were never counted anything. He lifts them up and he puts them on their feet and say to them, "You have a place in the kingdom." Although people grumbled, Zacchaeus' reaction was different. Look at verse 8 if you have a Bible. If not, I'll read to you. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I'll pay back 4 times the amount." You know, he never preached a sermon. He never made an altar call. But Zacchaeus stood up. Zacchaeus said, "Look, Lord, half my possessions I'm going to give." Now, that is change of mind. All his work life he was getting from people. At this point, Jesus is in the house. He's going to start giving to people. What a change. Something has happened in his mind. Some changes come into his heart. "Half my possessions I'll give. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I'll pay back 4 times. A true Jew would do that. Change has come. I was a tiny little boy when I went to church. I was 11 years old when I was given a Bible to proclaim a gospel. I preached that sermon. I didn't know what I was preaching about, but I did preach that sermon. I was in that church, a local church, for a number of years until at the age of 18. I was a young Anglican, rebellious, because I was at the point where I needed my freedom. I had taken into other lifestyle of drinking alcohol and smoking marijuana, and my life was off. My father tried to put pressure on me. I had rebelled. Then one day, somebody comes into my college, and he declares a word about the son who ran away from his father. And he lost everything, but he came back. Father open-handed, received him, kissed him, and received him back. I knew that was not my father, because my father and I were never friends. I knew this father is totally different. That's a story being told by Jesus of a father who would receive the wayward son, the son who had wasted everything, but would take him back. Then I began to struggle with coming home to God. 3 nights I could not sleep. I was in my dorm mate, turning every direction. I couldn't sleep. The last night, the third night, I got out of bed, knelt by my bed, and I said, "Lord Jesus, I surrender my life. Come into my life." The peace I never knew came in. The sleep I had not had for 3 nights came in. Something happened to me. Something got into my heart. I could feel what Zacchaeus felt when Jesus walked into his house. The man who was rejected by any other person, the rabbi from Nazareth, would walk in his house, sit at his table, eat his food. He could see how his value was added, how important he was beginning to appear, how he was being recognized by a very popular man, being followed by people. Something was happening. Something was happening. And change did come into his life. "I give half my property to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I'll pay back 4 times. We call that confession. Listen to what Jesus' response is. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Today salvation has come to this house. Because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Today I declare my mission in the house of a non-important person, that my mission is to look for the sons of Abraham. Salvation has come because I have come to turn the hearts of those who have gone away from the Father back to Him. My purpose is to seek and to save. Zacchaeus thought he was looking for Jesus. He didn't know Jesus was looking for him. Zacchaeus thought he was not important. It's only Jesus who gave him importance. It's only Jesus who gave him credibility. I have ministered to so many people, beloved, and I have seen how God has drawn people to Himself who otherwise were lost and going. I have seen transformation come into people's lives because they came and met the man Jesus. I have seen Jesus speak hope to people who are so hopeless and bring back things which people had lost in their lives. I have seen Jesus Christ opening eyes of people to see what they had never seen before, their lives coming back to be meaningful when it wasn't anything to think about. I have seen Jesus at work. Zacchaeus saw Jesus at work. Beloved, let me finish my word to you. This morning, you could be like Zacchaeus, not feeling any worth inside you, thinking that what people think about you is so bad and you believe it, and you are shrinking inside. The Lord knows that, and He understands it. He will speak value to your life. He's a friend who will be a friend in need. And this morning, all you can do, not climb a sycamore tree, but open your heart to Him. Say, Lord, come home. Come home to my life. Come home and be my guest. I need you. I also want to say, several years you worked together with me and my wife in our ministry. I came here in 2003. I had been elected the Archbishop of Uganda. You were here in this church. And Pastor Ron had said to me, Bishop Henry, we are going to give you transport for your ministry in Uganda. And you did a gift Sunday. I was here. And you raised the money. One of you decided, whatever the church raises, we'll top it up. And you gave me a car. I had a need at that point. You came in because of the love of Jesus in your heart. You met that need. That car traveled all over Uganda. 6 years I used that car. That car is still alive in Kampala. And Christ Church Overland Park is literally written on that car invisibly because you stepped in when I had a need. I believe that this church, now this is my last word to you, I believe that this church is standing here as a beacon to shine in the darkness of this land, Overland Park, Kansas, America. This church is going to rise up. This church is going to be a voice for the voiceless. This church is going to glorify Jesus Christ because this church has already passed through a time of formation. Transformation has taken place in this church. And may this church be the church that Jesus will be pleased with. May you anchor yourself in Him who recognizes you as very important, and may He use you to bring glory to Him in this land and in the world that He loves so much. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's look to Him who has given Himself to us, because we know that today He's doing what He did to Zacchaeus. Father, thank you that when a man was looking for you, you were looking for him. This morning, could be a young man, a young woman, a mother, a father, a young person, an old person, whose heart is yearning for you. Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you that you may reach that heart, go into that heart, make your home into that heart, and bless that heart with your presence. Father, thank you so much for Christ Church. The ministry you laid upon this church has been a ministry that we have recognized in my church in Uganda. I say thank you for each one of them. I say thank you for the leadership of Christ Church. I say thank you for the work you, Jesus, has done in the lives of people in Christ Church. And now may you let this church rise up, and may you let this church be a beacon in the dark, that the many people who are looking for him, who considers people at equal level, just like he took up Zacchaeus, may they share him with other people. May they introduce him to many people. May they draw people to you because you are there to change lives. I bless them. I bless their leadership. And I thank you for this morning. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen.